good morning, Inspire. How are you today? You ready to have church? Amen. And to all of those who will be viewing this either through the podcast or the live streaming or the services that will also be shown later today. Some are seeing it live. Others will see it during the course of the day. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayer that we prayed covers you as well. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It meant he would cover and protect the nation of Israel from the destroyer going through the land. You're protected in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I need to address some things this morning. We're in a series on redefining normal. And I want you to know it's an incredible honor to be here in the house of God. We're taking the normal precautionary measures and good hygienic measures. I'm going to confess, I'm such a person that wants to love and make others feel welcome that I shook several hands a while ago without even thinking and had to turn around and apologize. Don't shake hands. Elbow bumps. Practice that. Would you do that right now? Elbow bumps. Put your elbow up. You got a wing. Put it up. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all like to go to the restaurant and order wings? There's nothing better than a Popeye's fried chicken wing. Amen. Oh, throw that wing out there. I'm not making light of the circumstance, but God knows we've had so much bad news. We need at least a smile once in a while because laughter does good like a medicine. And so I want to honor you for being here today. Will we have services? If you haven't seen the website, yes, we will. If they tell us you can only have a certain number of people, we've got three auditoriums in this church. We've got one over there in the Family Life Center, at the gym. We've got this one. We've got the chapel right through there. We can have three services going on simultaneously. I need to be in the house of God in the middle of distress. Don't tell me I can't come to God. In times of trouble, that's when I need the Lord. Oh, God have mercy. And I've been through enough hard places in my life. I don't need to learn this all over again. When I was younger, I didn't know where to go in the middle of trouble, but I found out there is a solution. If you can get in Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, you know, I've told you all these surgeries, 27 now is what I've had, surgeries. I'm still going on. I'm like a Timex watch. I take a licking and keep on ticking. And the reason I do that is because I've learned who my strength is. I think the devil's just about figured it out. He might as well leave me alone and pick on somebody else for a while. Because all he does is make me go to God. And with that in mind, I'm turning to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. We will be having Bible study and worship. Worship. Everybody say worship. This Wednesday night, we will be having services next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. As usual, if anything, we will add more services. We've got a staff. I told our staff, it's time to roll up your shirt sleeves and work right now. Amen. None of us are so big we can't help sanitize the building. And I told our pastors that. And word's going out. We're going to be rolling up our shirt sleeves. If we need to have services every 2 hours in this building on Sunday to be able to meet the needs of our people and accommodate their schedules and instructions, well, I want you to know we're going to have church. Amen. And we'll do what we need to, and I'll do what I need to make sure the needs of this congregation are met. Exodus 15. I've been in a series, as I've already mentioned, on redefining normal. Many people live at a level beneath their privilege, and that for them is normal. And we have to redefine normal in our lives to live at the level God wants us to live at. In Exodus 15, verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. I want you to realize this was the peak experience of generations of Israelis. All of their suffering, their time spent in Egypt had come to an end. They had never seen God move like this before. Never. And now God has parted the waters of the Red Sea, literally parted the waters and made a highway appear in the middle of the waters of the Red Sea. And Israel went through on dry ground. And you know what they did? They danced. They got tambourines. Miriam led them in worship. You need to worship God when you've come out of a circumstance and a situation. When God has heard your prayer, be sure to give him praise. And so they've come from the peak experience of their entire history as a people. And then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. Oh, look for it. When God has done great things for you, there's always a wilderness that the enemy is going to try to put in the middle of your path on your way to your promised land. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And that's what the word Marah literally means. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes." I want you to read this with me. Read it out loud. "I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians." That's a promise somebody ought to claim right now in the name of Jesus. None of these diseases. Could I hear that? None of these diseases. That includes COVID. That includes SARS. That includes the H1N1. I don't care what it is. None of these diseases. Zika, all of it, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. He said he would let none of these diseases come on me. He said, "For I am the Lord who heals you." And I want you to know, if you have any problems and you get sick, you're serving a healer. By his stripes, Peter said, you were healed. Amen. And so you've got your healing already bought and paid for in advance. Then the scripture says they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. Father, would you please speak a word to us today? The middle of all of this chaos and disturbance and the constant focus on bad news and all of the things that could go wrong and are going wrong in the world and people living in terror, I want you to speak peace to us now by giving us a word from God. Give us direction. We are your people, and we look to you. And everybody shouted and said, amen. We live in troubled times, don't we? We live in troubled times. The virus, the economy has been affected, travel. I was actually in Africa Wednesday night, and I was asleep. And got up to go to the restroom, and there was an email from Andrew. And he shared with me what our president had just announced about closing the borders from Europe on Friday evening at midnight. And ordinarily, I would be on a flight out of Africa on Friday, land in Amsterdam on Saturday morning, and Saturday take a flight to the U.S. I immediately called KLM. And I fly so much, there are only about 200 of us in the world that have made this particular category, and I happen to be number one in the list of how much people travel. And it's almost embarrassing, but because of that, they've given us a dedicated line. And I could call and get a personal assistant. You might have to wait 30 minutes on the phone. They got a dedicated assistant. Goes right through to me. No, don't call me and ask me to make your schedule for you either. Please don't. And I'm just saying that it worked out that after paying the price, and people say, "Oh, you're lucky you get to travel so much." You ever travel like I do? You'll come to understand why people ask me, "Do you enjoy traveling?" I say, "Nope, not at all." If I could just step into some kind of machine and be there immediately, yes. I love what I do. It's the getting there that is the problem that takes the toll on you. People ask me, what you going to do with all those frequent flyer miles? My response is, I'm not going to use them because I travel enough. I give them to staff and people in Africa that can't afford to be able to travel where they can do their travel. Now, here is the point. When I called KLM, there was one seat left on the airplane on Thursday night. I got one seat. Amen. And I'm here today because of the grace of God. Now, I know that things are disrupted. Supply chains have been interrupted. Medical supplies are scarce. Food is flying off the shelves of grocery stores. I deeply appreciated the comments our mayor made this week when he called pastors together and said, don't cancel your services. He said, I'm going to be in church on Sunday. I love that. As long as there are jobs to go to, as long as there are malls that are open, why would we close church? Because people need spiritual input. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Mara means bitter, and life can become bitter. Israel had come to a bitter place. It's a broken world that we live in, and everything in it is broken. The environment and nature is broken. Health is broken. The economy, people's marriages and relationships are often broken. The weather's even broken. Everything in this broken world is in the state it's in because of an enemy and not because of him. The world God created was not like this. Wasn't always this way. The environment didn't work against people. The weather didn't work to destroy. The world that God created, according to Genesis, was good. Even he looked at it. The supreme judge of all that is good or evil looked at it and said, it is good. But then man sinned. There wasn't any sickness up until then. There was no Zika virus, no COVID. There wasn't any poverty. There was an abundance of resources. And there wasn't any such thing as divorce. The weather worked for man rather than against him. But when sin entered the world, it turned all of that upside down. These waters of Marah that Israel came to represent something significant to believers. They had come through the Red Sea, which was the supernatural provision of God in the middle of chaos. God formed a highway through the water, but it was more than that. It also represented birth of the blood, birth of the water, and birth of the Spirit. We know that because the Passover lambs, blood had been shed. And Paul says they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, it represents your new birth experience. Many times people come into the kingdom of God and think from that day forward, everything's going to be rosy. It's not. You get born again, you're going to come to some bitter waters before the day is over. Amen. And I want to tell you, it's not just believers, but the world lives at Marah. They live with disappointment. Amen. The problem is that we've turned as a society toward waters that cannot satisfy or quench our thirst. There's only one who can provide living waters. And we've often turned to broken cisterns, Jeremiah said, that can't hold water, and sought sustenance and strength from things that cannot provide. And when we come to that point, you know what we do as a people? We turn around and we blame God when things go wrong and they're unpleasant and life becomes a desperate circumstance for us. Look at Naomi. Naomi left Bethlehem, the house of bread, in a time of famine, because even as a child of God in the house of bread, the house of revelation, sometimes you can go through a rough place. And she left and went to Moab. And she lost her husband and two sons there. And when she returned back to Bethlehem, having been devastated by her losses, when she showed up, people looked up and saw her coming down the road and said, wait a minute, that sure looks like it really does appear, it seems that I believe that's Naomi coming home. And they went to meet her because she had lots of relatives and friends that she had left there during the time of that famine. And when they came and said, "Naomi, welcome home. It's really you. It's good to have you back." She held up a hand and said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." The very same word that is used here when they came to the bitter waters. And she said, "The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Don't name me Naomi or call me Naomi. That means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter, because of what God has done." I want to tell you, it wasn't the Lord that caused her losses. I need to talk to somebody right now. There's nothing the enemy likes to do more than bring chaos into your life and turn around and blame the one that is trying to lead you into peacefulness and bring you to your promised land. The enemy wants to shoot in your direction and turn around and put the gun in God's hands to get his fingerprints so that CSI will end up determining God was the source of your difficulty. I want you to realize today that God is not the problem. I need to hear somebody say amen. Naomi had gotten out from underneath the protection of God's covering and grace when she and her family moved to Moab, because that was a nation that opposed God and they were enemies of the Lord and of his people. God said, "Someone from Moab can't enter my congregation until the 10th generation," because they had opposed the people of God and they stood against God. She went to Moab. And here's the point I want to make. So often in times of tragedy or distress, I hear people ask, "Is it the judgment of God?" Look at your neighbor and say, "No, it isn't. Would you do that?" If there's anybody here, please don't leave here today saying that this is the judgment of God. What happens is the West over decades has drifted away from God. We've gotten out from underneath his protection and covering. And when you drift away from the covering of God's grace, you're exposed and vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. It's not God that's done that. The whole West has shifted in the wrong direction. I've got news for you. I believe God's going to use this to call our nation and the West back to God. Amen. Somebody ought to give God a praise break right now. Oh, bless his name. Amen. But you know what happens when people are disappointed? They become bitter. Things turned out differently than Israel thought they would. When your expectations are not met in the manner that you had hoped for, when you're looking for a promotion that doesn't come through, and you thought God was going to fix your broken marriage, but you're still fighting, and we expected to be healed, but the doctor said we still got sickness in our body. When God doesn't show up the way that we think he ought to on our time schedule, you know what? People often become bitter and blame him. And they turned and began to blame Moses as well. Moses is a type of the church. And they say all kind of things about, "I thought this and I thought that and I expected this." And they cried out against Moses, and Moses went to God. Let me tell you what we need to do in the middle of all of this. We need to go to God in prayer. That this is a call for the church to pray. Can I hear somebody say amen? Look at 2 Chronicles 6:28-30. "When there is a famine in the land, pestilence," this is the prayer of Solomon as he dedicates the temple. When there is pestilence, you know what that means? That means disease. That means the COVID virus. That means H1N1. That means SARS. That means anything else that's going on. "When there's famine in the land and pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or sickness," everybody say sickness, "there is what ever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hands to this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of men or the sons of men. What do you do whenever times of difficulty come and bitterness come? Don't blame God. Turn to God and begin to pray. There's a God in heaven that hears us when we call on him. Can somebody in the building say amen? We can't fix it, but he can. And when Moses prayed, this is what happened. The Lord showed Moses a tree. Now, it was a particular tree. There must have been other trees, but God showed him a certain tree. And he went and he cut it down and threw it into the bitter waters. That reminds me of yet another tree that came some 1,500 years later. It was a tree that was placed on a hill called Calvary 2,000 years ago. When you put Christ in the middle of your problem, when you put the blood of Jesus in the middle of your problem, when you bring the cross into your situation, I want you to know God can change things and he can do it in a hurry. We need a fresh vision of the cross. Moses cut the tree down and threw it into the waters. And when he did, something miraculous occurred. The bitter waters became sweet. Here's where I'm coming from this morning. This is the word of the Lord. God's about to turn this bitter situation into something sweet. I need somebody to give God a praise break right now. You may be struggling and life may be bitter, but God's about to speak a word over you. He's going to turn it around. God's going to make the bitter waters become sweet. We need a fresh vision of the cross, don't we? We need to see the cross again. Our problem is that we're looking at everything but what we should be looking at. We're watching the news media. You watch a little bit of that, you become so depressed, you don't want to get out of your bedroom. You don't even want to turn on the lights. You want to lay in your bed and moan, waiting for the world to end. Amen. We're watching the news. We're looking at social media. We're worried about the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the S&P 500. Let me tell you, your future is not in the hands of men anyway. It's in the hands of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord that provides. You're not going to be abandoned in this crisis. We need God to show us the cross once more. You need to always keep the cross in the middle of your perspective, because the cross conquers everything. The cross of Jesus Christ dealt with what caused this world to be broken. Amen. Don't let your focus be distracted or taken away from Christ. Sometimes the disappointments of life will cause you to look in the wrong direction. And when you do, fear gets into your heart. And when fear comes, it is the opposite of faith. You see, unbelief is not the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. When you believe, it casts out fear. Hallelujah. When you know God's got your future in his hands. Didn't we learn it as little children? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. Didn't we learn that when we were kids? Let's not forget that lesson right now. Moses cast the tree into the bitter waters and it made the bitter waters become sweet. And I promise you that if you will keep the cross in the middle of your finances, it will make them sweet. Look at somebody. If you're close enough, give them an elbow bump and say this: my finances are getting ready to be sweet. Would you do that? My marriage is getting ready to be sweet. My health is going to be sweet. The bitter waters of life can be turned sweet again. The cross can make your broken dreams become something sweet once more. can turn your midnight into a sunrise and your days of misery into a time of rejoicing and thankfulness. Verse 25 goes on to say, before I close, the Lord tested them. God doesn't bring about this kind of thing, but he will use it to reveal our hearts. The things we walk through become a mirror that show us what's on the inside. God is testing our world right now. I pray that this disease stops dead in its tracks. But I tell you what, there's one thing I could not help but observe. When it first started, they were saying it's going to go through Africa like a wildfire. Because, I mean, poor medical facilities and things available. And instead, I want you to notice, it's basically pretty much skipped over Africa. There are a few cases, but most of those are people that were in Europe or Asia, seriously speaking. And science, I saw it on the internet yesterday. The question, they're saying, why has Africa and Latin and South America been spared? I want to just throw this out there. Do you know how long it's been since Europe and North America have had a revival? Did you know that Asia has never had a revival? But did you know Africa has revival right now? Did you know Latin and South America are having revival? I'm not making that up. I've been there. I preached in one church in Buenos Aires that had services 22 hours a day. Every 2 hours was a different service until 4 o'clock in the morning when they shut the building down to clean the building for the next group that was coming in at 6. I preached in that church. They had 270 or 80,000 members. Don't tell me that nations have not had a revival, because a revival, I want you to know, is significant because it impacts other things than just the spiritual climate. Amen. Even Russia had a revival. I'm serious. When the Iron Curtain fell, I was one of those that was there. This church launched 38 churches in Africa. I'm sorry, Russia. Some of them now are running as many as 8,000 people. Amen. Putin can't control it either. Amen. The devil don't know how to deal with revival. But China's not had that same kind of breakthrough. There's an underground revival that's occurring. This is the attempt of the enemy to shut it down. Amen. People are saying, well, I wonder why that thing is suddenly going down in Wuhan. I wonder why in Hubei province that all of a sudden the numbers are going the other way. There's not as much virus. I think I know why. Those underground churches are praying right now. Amen. I think that's a large part of it. When God's people pray, this verse right here said, he will heal from heaven and heal, hear from heaven and heal pestilence. That's what the word of God said. He said, I will bring upon you none of these diseases that have come upon the Egyptians. Here's the point. The West has drifted so far from God. While there's revival in Latin and South America, revival in Africa, and even revival in Russia, China, Europe and North America got so wise they didn't think they needed God anymore. I want to tell you, when you get so big you don't need God, you're getting too big. Amen. You need to back up and reassess. And I'm not casting blame, because if anybody does get sick, it doesn't mean you failed God. But what I'm talking about is our nation has been exposed because of this whole attitude that we don't need God in our schools. We don't need God in government. We don't need God anywhere anymore. Listen, we started praying our Father which art in Washington, D.C., and we better stop praying that and start praying our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And I'm not blaming Democrats or Republicans. I think both of them need a revival. We need a revival in this nation. We need to turn to God. Can somebody say amen? And so God allowed the circumstance to test them. And in verse 26, he said, if we will honor God, that he would not put any of these diseases upon us that came upon the Egyptians. If we do get sick, he reminded us, he is the Lord that heals us. I pray over you right now, divine protection and covering at this very moment. The enemy will not be able to come near you. The devil is a liar. He cannot affect you. You're in Jesus' name. I want you to say it. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And do you know what happened? After God turned the bitter water sweet, are you ready for this? They came to Elam. I'm not prophesying doom. I'm prophesying revival, because Elam means revival. There were 12 wells and 70 palm trees. They went from not having good water to having more than they needed. I need somebody to say, I'm coming into my time. Amen. This is not the wrong time in my life. It's the right time in my life. You know why? David said it like this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He went on to say, you prepare a table before me when? In the presence of COVID. Amen. Right in the middle of the virus, God's setting a table up for me. I'm going to be blessed, 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 blessed. I need somebody to shout it. I'm going to be blessed, blessed, blessed. Woo! Hallelujah. 12 is the number of the government of God. There were 12 tribes in Israel, 12 apostles of the Lamb, 12 foundations in the New Jerusalem, and it had 12 gates. 12 is the number of divine government. 10 is the number of human government. I've got a feeling in the middle of all of this that there's going to be some shifting and some changing. There's going to be some folk praying that haven't prayed in a long time, if they've ever prayed in all of their life. Let somebody stand on the steps of the Supreme Court. And again, I'm not picking on a particular party, but let them almost become so angry it spittle's flying from their face. But God's talking to this nation right now in the middle of what the devil thought would destroy us. God's going to turn it around and make bitter waters become sweet. Amen. Maybe that's what all of this that we're going through is meant to show us. Maybe it's meant to show us you can't live without God. And until we put God first, man will always struggle. Put God first in your prayer life. Put God over your job. He'll make sure that you got bread on your table. Put God first in your finances. Put God first in your life. Oh, yes, take the normal precautionary measures. You don't want to get out there and do anything foolish. Amen. I'm serious. But I'm not going to live in fear. I'm just not going to do it. I've been through too much. I've survived what should have buried me, and I'm still standing on the top side of God's earth. Look at somebody and say, I'm not going under. I'm going over this situation. 70 palm trees were there, and I closed. 70 is the number of wisdom. There were 70 elders who served under Moses to lead the children of Israel. 70. They were given the gift of wisdom by God. 70 palm trees. The palm tree represents victory. You might not know this, but in ancient Greece, they gave a palm branch to the victorious athlete. We always heard it was olives. No, it was a palm branch they gave to the victorious athlete. They waved palm branches on the day Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly. Amen. If we will honor, here you go, the wisdom, the 70 palms. If we will honor the wisdom of God, we're going to see victory, because that's what the palm tree represents in the middle of the crisis. I need you to look at your neighbor and say, the enemy might think he has won, but he hasn't. Would you do that? This is going to backfire against him so bad he's going to wish he had never heard of COVID. Amen. Amen. In ancient Rome, this is a true story. The Emperor Julian followed Constantinople. Constantine. The Emperor Constantine claimed he saw a vision of a cross and a voice that spoke from heaven that said, in this name conquer. He turned the entire Roman Empire into a Christian state and empire. He was followed by one of his descendants, the Emperor Julian, who became known as the Apostate Julian, who swore to eradicate Christianity from the earth. He tried to turn the world away from God and swore that he would destroy Christianity until it was no longer around. He was severely wounded in a battle, and this is a true story. As he lay mortally stricken, he picked up a handful of earth soaked with his own blood, threw it at the sky, and said this, "Thou hast conquered, O Galilean, thou hast conquered at the last," and he died. I close today by telling you the Galilean is going to conquer all of this. The one who walked the shores of Galilee is going to win in the end. The blood of Jesus always wins. And Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Hallelujah. So what should we do when we come to the morrows of life? First, let's trust God and not complain. Don't get into this whole complaining mode. Like some of these news media are doing. Turn that stuff off. Get you a news update. But don't let that stuff get into your mind and your heart, because it will make you negative. Amen. Second, let's not look for someone to blame. Don't let what you're going through make you blame the one that is actually your source of help. And third, we should pray. Listen to this from the Psalms 56, verses 9 through 10. I love the Passion Translation. Oh, I know. I know some people say it's not 100% accurate. It is a translation and shouldn't have been called a translation, because it's really more of an interpretation. Truth is, every translation is an interpretation, because there are not always words that correctly correspond to the English language. So every translation is literally an interpretation, including the King James. That's why I always give you Hebrew words that were used in the original text. But listen to this so that you will understand. You can read this in the King James. New King James is actually my favorite, but I love the Passion Translation. I love to pray it. Listen to this. In verse number 9, David said, "The very moment I call to you for a father's help, the tide of battle turns and my enemies flee. This one thing I know, God is on my side. I trust in the Lord and I praise him. I trust in the word of God and I praise him." Can somebody say amen? The moment you call for a father's help, look up at the Father and say, "I'm calling on you for help today. For our world, for our nation, our city, my family." And I declare that at the moment I call on you, the tide of my battle is turning right now. The enemies that were running in my direction are going the other way in the name of Jesus. Because God, I know that you're on my side. You're not against me, you're for me. I trust in you and I praise you. Nothing's going to rob me of my worship. Nothing's going to keep me from the time that I spend praising him. And I want to tell you what, nothing's going to keep me from being in the house of God and worshiping. I need to be where other people are worshiping. And nothing's going to keep me from trusting the word of God. Well, tell you what, I'm serious about this. When you stand on the foundation of the word, you cannot be shaken. What's that old song go like? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Fourth point. You said, "I thought you was done." Just 1 minute. Amen. Stand strong on God's unshakable word. God didn't bring us through the Red Sea to leave us at bitter waters. God didn't save you to abandon you to the circumstances of life. He promised us something. He promised us a land that flows with milk and honey, and God does not violate his promises. Five is the number of grace. Fifth point. Look at your neighbor and say, "You need to be worshiping instead of complaining." Would you do that? Oh, we're going to do all the right things about social distancing. We're going to do elbow bumps. I'm not going to cough on anybody. If I do have to cough even to clear my throat, you better do it like this. Somebody's going to say, "In Jesus' name, if you even clear your throat, you know." I hope you don't have allergies right now. I'm serious. You're going to be a social pariah. Amen. If you have allergies. Amen. But just remember, you stand on the Word of God and let's worship. You say, Pastor, why should we worship in the middle of this? Because we serve a great big God. We serve a loving God. We serve a God that is there for us. I want you to know that right now the Father's looking to you. I want you to know that right now the Father has His arms outstretched to cover and protect you. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. We always thought that meant like just He's on a journey, pass over. No, this is what it means. He meant, I will pass over. I will cover you. I'll protect you. I'm claiming divine protection right now. And when you come tomorrow, just remember this. God is not finished yet. Just because it looks bitter doesn't mean it's over. Elam is just around the corner. I need somebody to say, even though circumstances are hard, would you do that? Elam is just around the corner. Stand with me across the building.